Hi, hello, welcome to In and Out of Character. I know it's not my normal intro, but it's really good to have you here. I am super excited for this interview today, or this conversation with my guest today, Selenia. Selenia is a developer for a very popular MMO add-on for World of Warcraft called Total Roleplay 3. And it's everywhere in World of Warcraft. If you are from World of Warcraft, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, it's the add-on. It's like one of the add-ons that you use as a role player. Before we bring in Selenia and get through that conversation, I do want to bring up two things, okay? First off, next week, I'm releasing a new podcast called Pages of Lore. This podcast will be released here, and it's going to have a video side of it as well over on YouTube. I'll make sure to try to link both of those things together. That way, for our audio-only listeners, you'll be able to hear it, and for our visual listeners, it's over there as well. Pages of Lore is just going to be reading in-game books. I'm a big fan of reading the in-game lore as I go through a video game. I'm starting off with Baldur's Gate 3 for right now. Each episode is going to be like a minute or two long, because all I'm doing is just picking a book, an in-game book, like a sheet of paper that you might have picked up and threw back down because you don't got time to read that shit, and just reading it here. I'm also going to be trying to audio dramatize it to give it a feeling of, you know, being in the area as you're reading it, if that makes sense. Like, if you're in-game and you would have found this letter near a river, well, of course, add river sounds and the chirping of birds and fish and all those other such things. There's a reason for this, and I will explain on the day that I release it, on the 18th. I'm very excited for this. It's also, like I said, going to be over on YouTube. Same deal. And yeah, goodness, I'm just so excited for it. The next thing that I want to bring up is that In and Out of Character is not going anywhere. It is still going to be releasing every Wednesday, while Pages of Lore is going to be releasing on Mondays and Fridays. And again, the episode's going to be a minute or two long, nothing big, just simple, short reading books from video games. That's all it is. The last thing that I want to mention is that I want to start bringing back questions of the week. Kind of, sort of. I want to start answering questions from the community. I feel like I have a lot of expertise in the role-playing field in general. So I wanted to start bringing that back so I can talk with the community, so I can bring you guys in here and answer maybe a burning question that you have or just something that you want your opinion on. Feel free to send them here or, you know, leave them in the Discord or email me at thecoreroleplayersguild@gmail.com. Again, I'll make sure to provide all the links down below. Any question that you have in regards to the role-playing community at large, feel free to ask me. I'm super thrilled to talk about that. And it's probably the one thing that I feel like I have a good amount of expertise in. Unlike before, though, I'm not going to have the guest sit there and read these with me and discuss these things, because it really felt off-putting for the guests. Like, I'm already having them come in and answer all the questions that I have. So having them answer questions from the community as well, right now, it just doesn't seem like a good time, but I still want to bring it back like this, where I get to answer them some point during the episode. And yeah, hopefully next Wednesday, I'll have more questions to answer. You are a developer for a very popular add-on in the World of Warcraft role-playing community called Tabletop Role-Playing.
Total RP.
Wait, what did I say?
You just said tabletop.
See, this is why. But like, it's so cool that you've done that. But, and I'm sure you get like asked so many questions about that. But how did you get started to role playing in the first place?
So for me, it was completely an accident, I'd say. I think I was somewhat interested in roleplay, like, just loosely. Like, I'd make backgrounds for my characters, and, like, I think I played with Total RP 2, like, back in Wrath of the Lich King. No, not Wrath of the Lich King. That would have been Cataclysm, I think. But I never really played on roleplay servers. Like, I started the game, and I just played PvE, just regularly, and then, like, Like, midway through Cataclysm, I just ended up, for some reason, I couldn't raid anymore. I didn't have a guild anymore. I didn't have any friends. And I was like, I'm probably going to quit the game. And I just thought, hey, you know what? Like, I've seen the roleplay servers over there. Like, I'll just give it a try. I'll see how it goes. And, like, if it doesn't go well, well, I'll just quit the game and move on. And I just joined and I had fun. And I just roleplayed for, like, 4 years straight, I think, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically it. Like, I didn't have any tabletop roleplay experience before that. It's something I was just curious about, but never had the opportunity to do, really.
That was actually going to be my next question, is if tabletop was your first foray into this hobby of ours, because normally MMO role-playing is like something you get into after you already understand what the concept of role-playing is. Instead, you just jump straight into it, which is wildly different from anything else that people would consider normal role-playing. Like, MMO role-playing is so stretched out from the normal acting, cosplaying, tabletop role-playing, just all those things. Like, MMO role-playing is its own separate beast that you have to learn and get into.
I mean, I had only one time when I played a tabletop roleplay after that. Like, it's like something like 2 years ago, I did some Dungeons and Dragons with some friends for, like, I don't remember, like, a few months. Mm-hmm. But before that, I literally had no experience with tabletop. I knew what it was. And it's something I thought, like, oh, I'd probably like that, and just never tried, really.
That's fair. It's still just such a wild concept. When did you get into MMO role-playing? What expansion for World of Warcraft was it?
That was half of Cataclysm, I think. Would have been 2011, I think.
Cataclysm. Yeah, that should be a fun one.
I think it was, summer of 2011. And I literally just, I made a character on the roleplay server, and then I just started leveling, and while leveling, I just stumbled upon a village that had a lot of people just roleplaying there, and I just joined up and just had fun there, and then I ended up playing with them for a while.
Mm-hmm. But you were so into it that you decided to become a developer for the add-on. An add-on which is quite literally used by almost every single World of Warcraft role player. Almost. I know that there is another one, but I'll be honest, I went around looking the other day because I was just trying to get some data for a project that I'm doing. And I was looking around. Almost every person I talked to, I'm going to say out of the, let's say, 100 people I talked to, about 89 of them, 88, had TRP3.
Yeah, I think from the current, like, we don't have, like, exactly stats of the user base and stuff like that. All we have is the download counts, and I think the last time we checked, like, based on the 3-4 RP add-ons that exist, I think we're like 80-85% of the total downloads.
Which
was definitely not the case a long time ago, basically. I think just circumstances just happened and made that we ended up there. But, well, like, to get back on the fact where I was really interested in it, I think the fact that I ended up a developer on it was also just complete accident.
Mm-hmm.
I basically just started getting involved with it, just like engaging with the creators of the add-on about the time I stopped role-playing, which is a bit wild. I stopped role-playing and then I just engaged with the developers. I joined the Discord server. I joined it just to chat basically with people, and because I was kind of interested in the extended module that they were still working on, I think, or they were releasing it. I don't remember. And basically through that, seeing them, like, answer questions and stuff like that, I just started helping as well. Like when I would see people asking questions that I had seen the answer to, I would answer to them and just help there. I would like try to go on other Discord servers and try to see if people needed help there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started just helping with bug fixing, and it kind of snowballed from there, where I just ended up where I am now.
Well, I mean, it's still pretty cool, but I know that you said that you... Well, here's another question for you. How long have you been developing, though?
I want to say end of 2017 was when I first started contributing to the add-on. So that means it's been 6 years?
So, tabletop... TRP tabletop. Oh my god, listen to me. TRP 3, it was your first foray into development?
Add-on development, yeah. I had not done anything prior to that. Like, I had programming experience, like from just like the courses and classes and stuff like that. But I hadn't really done any add-on development besides, you know, like the making macros or just like playing with weak auras a little bit. But like other than that, I had never done any add-on development before.
Well, I mean, that's I don't know a difference in any of it. I have been trying to build a website, and as far as I'm concerned, that's all it has been such a blast to learn that. If tabletop, god damn it, tabletop, if Total Roleplay 3 is anything like that, then you have a deep tip of my hat, my country boy hat, because... Oh boy, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Web dev is something I've done very little of, and the little I've done scares me to death. So I'd say it's kind of easier. The main issue is add-on development is the resources are not especially great. I think it's gotten better in recent years, but there was a time where there wasn't really a lot of documentation, and it basically, you had to join an IRC chat to even get help on add-on development, because that's where add-on developers were. Like, they were just chatting on an IRC chat, and so you needed help. You needed basically to find that chat somehow. Like, there wasn't really any clear indication of where to find that stuff. So it was kind of hard, I think, before. Now I think it's a lot better. There's a lot more easier resources to find and places where you can ask questions, and a lot of people will be able to answer your questions.
I can imagine, because technology advances at such a fast rate. I can imagine that the difference between Cataclysm to now, we would see a whole slew of new tools and assets to use for these various projects.
And also, you were Blizzard also changes, Blizzard changes a lot of their code every expansion, and so you just end up from one patch to the other, and stuff has changed, and you just have to figure it out, basically. Know what has changed and find out how to fix it.
That's pretty wild. You were saying something earlier. You were saying something about how the download has gotten, like, it used to not be high, and now it is high, sitting at 85%. I think that would be, well, just my thoughts on that. It could. Do you think that could correlate with the amount of MMOs that have come out since then? Because Cataclysm was way before Final Fantasy XIV, way before Elder Scrolls Online, before Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. The Old Republic.
Yeah.
And those all have pretty big role-playing scenes. I don't know too much about Star Wars currently, like what their role-play scene is, but pretty big. But what I'm trying to say is, the more MMOs that have come out since then, the more people have had an introduction to MMO role-playing. And then they find themselves on WoW, and they're like... Or they could have been old WoW players, saw MMO role-playing at one point, and decided to come back. and got it. That was just my thought about that. I don't know where I was going with that subject.
Yeah, I think basically what I was thinking of when I said that is like, for the longest time, my roleplay was the RP add-on that everyone would get. I think Flag RSP was one in the early days, but I wasn't playing back then, so I wouldn't know much about that. But basically, my roleplay was the main add-on for any English-speaking realm for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that it fell a bit into maintenance mode at around the time TRP3 came out made it that people slowly turned to TRP instead. Mm-hmm. And also some the fact that at the time some of the additions that were made to TRP3 were not readable by other add-ons, like the first Clansys, for example, for two expansions where my roleplay couldn't see them, which probably to some extent contributed as well to the fact that we got some user that way, which is not great, but
mm-hmm.
And I guess to some extent it's also the fact that other MMOs came out means probably just people moved on as well over That's the true. Years, and the people that were used to my roleplay and the simpler profile add-ons and stuff like that just moved on, and you just had new users that would just look for, I don't know, maybe shinier add-ons. Maybe they just see the simplicity and be like, that's a bit too bare for me. I think it might be just a combination of all of that stuff.
Because I've come back to World of Warcraft role-playing not too long ago, and I went and re-downloaded all the old add-ons I used, and some of them don't even work anymore. Like, they haven't been updated in years. And I'm sitting there role-playing, and I'm wondering why my text chat, my chat box is just going fucking nuts. It's because they haven't updated the one long, like, the one paragraph add-on I used to use.
Yeah, and because there's been years and years of changes on the side of Blizzard, nothing is, like, the work to update some of those might be a lot now. I think the one that in roleplay is probably the most missed is Griffinheart items.
Yeah,
which was the old add-on that you would use to create custom items. That just I think. Legion might have been the time where it finally... Legion or Battle for Azeroth was the time where it finally died. It's an agonizing death, I might say. For years, you would still see the add-on message, like the message they use to check if the broadcast channel exists. You would just see that message pop up sometimes. Of people just having the add-on that just doesn't work, but still echoes.
all things in World of Warcraft change, except for trade chat. Trade chat has stayed exactly the same since the beginning. Even Baron's chat is gone. Well, I don't know about Classic WoW. I haven't played Classic WoW, and I actually have never played Classic WoW. I started at the end of Vanilla, the Burning Crusade. Yeah. And I remember Baron's chat back then. I don't know if it is the same as it used to be in World of Warcraft Classic.
Oh, in Classic, no. I think in Classic it did have quite a comeback, I think. I don't know if it's still the case, but I think it's... Yeah, during leveling, at least.
Did you ever visit in your roleplay career in World of Warcraft? Did you ever visit... not Moonshire. Lion's Trident? Lion's Pride.
I think the first day I started, I think I made a human, and I played there. Somehow I managed to avoid interacting with bad people. I think there,
yeah,
got lucky. But I just made a character from another race after that. So I spent one day there. I got lucky. Would not recommend. I think I've been there for other reasons later, whether it was to just see what stuff could be on there or literally just testing testing stuff, and I know people would be there, and yeah.
Well, have you tried any other MMO besides World of Warcraft roleplay?
Oh, roleplay, no. I've only done roleplay in WoW. I don't know if I would want to do it in other games.
Listen, I will be honest with you. Every single, from my experience, every single MMO that I've gone to and roleplayed in, it's about the same to get into it. You have to look around, you have to find it. And some MMOs is easier. All you need to do for World of Warcraft is just go to Alliance, or go to Stormwind, or go to Orgrimmar. Boom, there's your roleplay. If you're on the right guild, or on the right, on the right server. Other servers, a little bit more difficult, but for just generally speaking, World of Warcraft, there you go. That's how you get into it. And Elder Scrolls Online, you have to know somebody who already knows where all the roleplay is, because the roleplay hub changes every so often. It changes like once or twice a year, where it'll just like pick up from one location and kind of move itself to another location. And Final Fantasy 14, pretty easy as well, but it's just one specific, there's like two servers that are pretty roleplay heavy.
Yeah, I think I've seen like people usually gather on one server for roleplay.
Yeah, same with Guild Wars 2. You kind of have to know where to go to find the roleplay. Which I'm happy to say that Guild Wars 2 roleplay has made a comeback. Very thrilled about that.
I think I remember looking, just out of curiosity, the RP add-ons that existed in Elder Scrolls Online years ago.
Oh,
that was a long time ago, and there was basically only one, and what it would do is literally just print in chat. Like, you would fill a text box and you could print it in chat, and that was it.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly... people made it work, but I don't think it's been kept up, because I haven't seen it used in any sort of manner since I rejoined Elder Scrolls Roleplay. And I've been a part of the Elder Scrolls Roleplay pretty, I'm going to say regularly, on and off, because I have, you know, the podcast to do, got the website to do, got the other stuff I got to do. So when I do get to join in random Elder Scrolls Roleplay God, what the hell is the name of that inn? Anyways, Anchor Point Inn, there we go. Nobody is doing that. Nobody's using that. And nobody is suggesting any sort of add-ons. So if you're listening to this and you are a developer and you want to make an add-on for Elder Scrolls Online, hey, we roleplayers can sure use it.
I'm actually shocked that last I checked, Final Fantasy XIV still didn't have an add-on that would... like a plugin that would essentially do what RP add-ons in WoW do.
Yeah, so like, in Final Fantasy 14, what you can do is you can like put in, like, there is a section for you to put in some basic info, and people will just, and like when you click on them, you'll see, like, you can inspect them and you can see, like, they'll have a link to a card, which is, in case you don't know,
I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah, if you're someone out there listening to this and you don't know what it is, a card is basically a website where you can go and make a card for a business or a website or just, like, for you. And some role players, especially in Final Fantasy XIV, have taken it upon themselves to use that as a way to, like, build their characters. To, like, showcase their characters and that sort of thing. The Final Fantasy XIV community have found a pretty clever way around the lack of roleplay add-ons.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just they're used to it now, and the fact that plugins exist means that, and the fact also they're not really TOS friendly means they don't want that. But I feel like the fact that plugins have access to the internet, which add-ons do not have, I mean, there could actually be a lot more they could do compared to what add-ons do in WoW.
Yeah,
but maybe they're just not interested. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes me really wish that developers and for the MMOs at the very least would give us the ability to like have just like a drop down section for character information. Like, it doesn't have to be anything important. You can toggle it off if that would be if you're not a role player, but like at least for the role playing community, just give us a thing. But then again, if that was the case, we wouldn't have Total Roleplay 3. There, I said it right this time.
Yeah, and I can understand to some extent why they're not doing it based on issues we've seen. Like the as soon as you let players input a lot of custom content, you get a lot of weird stuff happening. I mean, we've mentioned Goldshire, but we've had we've had worst cases where you would have like basically doxing happening in profiles.
Ooh.
At some point.
Oh.
Yeah, that was basically, I think there was a lot that happened towards the middle end of Legion. Like we had a surge of cases like that, and the problem is at the time people would go to Blizzard and say, hey, I'm being doxxed in the addon profile, and they'd say, well, just go see the addon dev, and they'd come see the addon dev, and the addon dev would say, we literally can't do anything, like, just we need Blizzard to let us do something about it because we don't have the tools to deal with it. So it was just a ping pong exchange, and to their credit, we managed to get their attention at the end of Legion, and the lead community manager saw the issue, brought it back to the dev team, and then in Battle for Azeroth they gave us tools to basically let us log the addon data on their side so that then they could see the data and act upon it.
But but Blizzard has noticed your addon, or at least the team, and said, okay, so since this is going to be a big thing in the community, at the very least, we can help you? Or is this a tool that they made specifically just to help you?
So they knew our add-on. I mean, in RP add-on in general, I think they've known for a long time. But it's I don't think they really... It wasn't such a big deal for them, probably, when it was just like people writing degenerate stuff in their profile. Yeah. I mean, they were just like, it's an issue, and like this like we can just pin the blame on the users and that land the add-on and that'll be fine.
Well, and you're the first one of the team. I have one more person from the team coming on to talk with me, but I wanted to know, has there ever been a time where you were worried that the add-on might have been taken down by Blizzard, or just made to not work?
I don't think so. Because basically, the add-on... Like, the add-on doesn't do anything special, I'd say. Like, if you wanted to destroy RP add-ons, you would basically have to destroy a lot of add-ons. Like, any add-on that exchanges any sort of data between two users would probably have to suffer greatly. And that means... stuff like, I don't know, like Deadly Boss mods, maybe?
Well, why couldn't they let us keep the cross-faction communication mod add-on?
Oh, there was actually a good reason for that. Like, they didn't break the add-on because they didn't like it. They broke the add-on for a completely unrelated reason. They were using, like, the cross RP add-on was using communities to communicate between factions. And the problem was communities had their histories stored on the server, which meant any add-ons that was writing and reading messages in the community could basically create a server-side storage, which was a really bad idea. And so they wanted to cut that off and say, like, add-ons shouldn't interact with communities, which then add the knock-on effect to greatly cross RP. But that was a complete accident. Like, they didn't actually want to kill the add-on.
Okay, I get it. Good. That makes me feel a little bit better, because like ever since I found out that the cross faction roleplay add-on, which I completely missed, I did not have a single part in that, and I'm very sad because I yearned for cross-faction roleplay in the early days.
It lived for one patch. It lived for one patch and immediately died because they realized, oops, we probably shouldn't let add-on store stuff on our servers.
Really? One patch? I thought it lasted a little bit longer.
No, they introduced communities in 8.0, and 8.1 was when they locked everything down.
Oh.
And then soon after, like 8.1.5 or 8.2, they added the potion to basically try to compensate for the fact that they had killed the add-on. They couldn't roll back the changes they made because they had good reasons to make them, but they tried to help in some way.
It's time to start answering questions. I'm not a great singer.
Maybe I should get like a little jingle for that. Question of the week, question of the week, question of the week. Just a whole bunch of people chanting. Anyways, so the question I have today is from The Magus. And fun fact, spoiler alert, The Magus will be coming on this podcast here pretty soon, in a couple of weeks actually. But they asked me, which big part of a lore of your choosing would you change? There's a lot of lore that I would like to see changed, but the whole point of role-playing in these games is to be able to tell a story based off of the ideas of somebody else. D&D has their world, World of Warcraft has their world, but if there was a bit of lore that I could personally change in somewhere that I would like to see, is the children from Warframe. The reason being is because when children are introduced into a roleplay setting, things can get a little weird in not great ways. People can tend to take offense to something that has a child in it. I personally cannot handle children being hurt. That's a complication right there. Not to mention that there are people out there who are not good people who would do unsavory things to children. As a matter of fact, you'll see a lot of guilds in like World of Warcraft, Elder Scrolls Online, like one of the rules that they have is no children. Like no role-playing children, no children in the stories, don't even joke about kids, nothing to do with a minor or a child of any caliber. It's just not okay. So, and when they introduced that these children were the driving force behind the Warframes themselves, not only did it disappoint people because of, you know, we were expecting people behind the mask, it's just not a great thing to have in roleplay in general. Personally, I hope that Warframe 1999 will give us people in the suits again, like actual people, because of the trailer with Arthur and Excalibur. I also feel like children in controlling the Warframes from afar was just a really weird thing in general for them to introduce. You know what I mean? But that's just my take on it. Well, let me ask you this then. Yeah. Why don't they... Okay, and feel free to just tell me you don't know the answer to this because...
Yeah.
I'm just asking because I wanted to know just your opinion on this. Why don't they just make it to where we could toggle a thing... which allows us to communicate with people from the opposite faction.
I don't know that one, I'm going to be honest. I don't know why it's not a toggle. Why it had to be a potion, not a toggle. I have no idea.
Funny.
There might have been some... No, I don't...
Maybe I'll have the... cojones one day to reach out to Blizzard and demand answers for the roleplay community.
I mean, nowadays, like this, the you can group with factions, and I think that they're trying to knock down the barriers as much as possible. Like you can group with people and just talk with them without language barriers.
I have found that. Yeah.
I have no clue why they in particular made that potion. I think I got confused when they made that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Well, I think the potion is a good thing. I think the potion is a good start, at least on the side of the roleplay community, because it does literally nothing other than just communicate with the opposite faction.
They just thought, like, flavor-wise, it made more sense, like, to have a potion. You would go on in the sewers and just get a potion that for a time you'd get... maybe that was just flavor.
Weird, because, like, in all the books that you read and all the, like, everything...
Oh, yeah, no, they all speak common in the lore.
Yeah, they all speak the same damn language, so it doesn't make any sense that it's suddenly a potion in the game. Anyways, I'm going to start ranting
it
if
does,
you let me.
It does make sense that the language barrier exists, because everyone has seen any online community ever.
Yeah, yeah.
There would be a lot of toxicity, especially, I think, back in Vanilla and stuff. I think you would still have a lot. So I understand why there's a language barrier, and I understand why opt-in that you... like choose to be able to communicate with the other faction, and the other persons need to opt in that as well. But I have no clue why they made it with a duration instead of just being a toggle. But I, flavor is the only thing I can think of. But yeah.
Well, besides all that, let me ask you about your characters. Like when you first got into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Roleplay, did you have an idea, or did you just go for it?
What did I do back then? I made a character which I think was based on a previous character I'd thought of, but I probably hadn't played it. Because the first character I made was a Night Elf Mage, which you couldn't make before Cataclysm, so I couldn't have made it before that. So I think it was just something I had in the back of my hand, of my head, of just a character that I had thought of from previous things. Like, mm-hmm. not even probably a game, just thought in my mind. Like this character, and I just adapted it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I played it for like a month. I think I played for like a month or two, and I had fun, but at some point I realized that's not really the character I want to play, and after that, all my characters I basically made from scratch, where we just like make a character, have a vague idea of how they should behave, have a very, very brief background, if even, and then I would just go for it and just build from there, basically.
Yeah,
just roleplay, see how I felt, then build a bit of the background and on the side, and then go back and just back and forth on that.
How do you develop your characters? Do you just go in like so? I a lot of times what I'll do is if I have an idea for a character, I'll just try to create the basic barest of a bone character, like concept of a character, and I'll go into the roleplay and just develop the character through that. Like use other people to sort of just build up that character, as opposed to like having a fully fleshed out character beforehand.
That's pretty much how I would do it as well. It's just have an idea of the character I want to play, but just very brief. Like, just okay, that's a human hunter that comes from Gilneas. All right, that's great. Like, how, like, basic traits of personality. Okay, that's good, and that's it. And then just play with others, see how it goes, and just from that, just try to build a background that makes sense with how the exchanges have gone.
Yeah,
and just slowly build up from that. But I don't really like building up a character, like building all the bricks of a character and have a fully fledged out character, and then go in a situation and maybe stuff is not going to work out, and what do you do? I already built the entire character. Am I supposed to change the character to fit in that context? I guess maybe that was also the issue, is most of my characters, I already knew the people I was going to play with. So I didn't want to have a fully fledged character and go with people I already knew I wanted to play with, and that wouldn't work out, and then just have to basically make a new character again, just rebuild it all over again, and that didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, my first WoW roleplay character was also something that didn't exist class to race wise, and still doesn't to this day. And it was I played a human shaman who used to be a paladin, and boy did that get a lot of flack. Did you ever get a lot of flack for doing like a night elf mage type deal when you first started?
I mean, at the time, like the combination had been added with some lore to back it up. So I think the main issue is I played a night elf mage in a human village, which made very little sense. I had some justification, very small justification, but it. Like, I kind of forced that. But at the same time, like, I was starting, I think, I'm maybe at one comment at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I had much issues. And then after that, I just played just not really particularly special characters. So there was not really any flag to get. I think, if anything, I dodged a bullet because I, before role-playing, I had made backstories for my characters. For the characters I played on PvE servers, that took wild liberties with the lore, but thankfully nobody ever saw them, so that's fine.
I got a lot of flack for my first character. Now my second character wasn't so much so, but I did roleplay a Monari way back when, and she's still around and kicking. And she didn't get a lot of flack, actually, because she was a Monari disguised like a normal Jedi. And so I didn't get a lot of flack because the people that she would tell that she was a Monari were the people that she became incredibly close with. But now, since the red skin has come out for the Jedi, and you can actually make a Monari-looking character, I've gotten so much flack! recently, because like people are like, because you know this is something that normally happens when it comes with new races coming out, new cosmetics coming
out, new classes.
People want to roleplay those things, and so you see a lot of them. It happened with the Worgen and the Goblins when the Worgens came out, Worgens fucking everywhere. When the Pandarens came out, Pandarens fucking everywhere, and people complained about it. And now, same shit. Too many. I literally saw someone's profile that said too many red goats, and I was like, aww.
I mean,
as I'm sitting there playing a red goat, and I'm like, oh, please, just let me roleplay.
I think it's been an issue for since the beginning of the game. I think I'm not sure. I didn't know back then. I couldn't look up, but I imagine people made a fuss about Draenei's when they were. Introduced, like, I imagine extraterrestrials coming to a human city probably was wild, especially because they have spaceships and stuff. Like, I imagine there was a lot of stuff there. Same for Death Knights. Death Knights were the original. Everyone hates them, and everyone who plays one is not following the lore and stuff like that. I think that everything, it's always been an issue. And you can't please everyone. I think you just have to choose who you play with. Like, find people you enjoy playing with, and then you can play whatever you want with them, and that's fine.
Yeah, I have always took the thing. It's like, as long as you're being respectful of the other players, then there's not much you can do wrong other than just completely taking a shit on the lore. And by that I mean role playing as Arthas's son or something like that. Definitely shouldn't do that. Please.
I think my hot take would be the I don't know if roleplay is really like it's gonna depend on the characters played and all that, but I don't know if it's always good that it's an MMORPG, because there's a lot of people that all have a different preconception of how roleplay should go, and like all the rules. I think money is one of the topics where nobody's gonna be on the same page on that. Like, you take 10 people and all of them will have a different idea of what money's worth.
And I'm gonna do a video about that.
Yeah, and the problem is in an MMORPG there's nobody to decide. Like, there's no entity that is gonna say, okay, this is the rule. I guess, like, add-ons would be the closest entity to tell you how to do, but, like, we can't really go in and say, guys, this is the worth of money, like, everyone agree with us.
Yeah, and even at that point, like, all you would be doing is saying, like, okay, a cup of coffee is this much, like, this much copper or this much silver. And then people would just be like, okay, all right. Like, but at the time, like, you can roleplay your character to have any amount of money that your imagination can handle. And if you want to play a poor, like, a character who's more poor, then they just don't have a lot of money. And if you want to play a character who's rich, then they have a lot of money. And so at that point, like, it doesn't matter at all what the concept of money is. And
yeah, because everyone can just have whatever money they want.
Yeah, there is no factual thing. I mean, like, I guess you could, at like, for a character, like, go to the bar and actually see how much, like, the most basic drink is, and use that as a concept for role playing. But that's only, again, when you're purchasing something as a character. So it doesn't, it's not like a whole lot to do with your character.
Yeah.
It's
sort of a thing that over time I just moved a bit away from actively role playing myself. It's just I can't really find myself enjoying the experience when basically, like, everyone has their own rules and I don't know what to expect when I'm gonna go to someone, and like it could just be a complete waste of time, and then I'll just I don't know. It's just I don't feel like the gamble is worth it for me, but like I still enjoyed my time, and that's why I still want to continue working on the add-on. It's just make sure that everyone who still enjoys the hobby just gets to keep enjoying it for as long as they want.
And that's a really important thing to mention, is that you don't have to actively be role-playing to help the role-play community. Like, again, I'm trying to build this roleplay, this website for roleplayers. That doesn't leave me with a lot of time to roleplay, actually. I'm trying to get it to where people can have a factual place for their character and, like be able to trade character sheets and stuff like that. And sort of, like, because I know that the engine went down, I've been also trying to come up with a concept for people to be able to, like, make guilds on there and have, like a home for their guilds and recruitment stuff, and, like, all that other good stuff. You don't have to be actively in the roleplay community to help the roleplay community. You just kind of have to have your toesies in the pool. That way you know what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's important that I roleplay to understand, like, how basically, like, the rules of the game, essentially, like how people will interact with each other, and have an idea of that. But I guess, like, being actively role playing, I don't know if I would learn anything more. And if there's a lot of demand for something, people are probably gonna talk about it, and we're hopefully gonna hear about it, and just have to consider whether we want to develop something for those demands.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you were saying earlier that you've definitely stopped role playing for the most part, right?
Yeah. I'm barely playing WoW nowadays. I log on every patch on PTR just to play the quests for a separate add-on.
Mm-hmm.
That's related to questing, and like I mostly just log in for add-on development purposes. I barely play. I think I might play next expansion.
But yeah, to this day, I still pay for the yearly subscription every year, same time, beginning of December, as it has done for the last 3, 4, 5 years now. And I hardly get on, and that's a me problem. But you've cut out role playing for the most part. What's that been like for you? Has it been, because I ask this because when I take my time and step away from the role play, I find myself with just a lot more time suddenly, and like a lot less.
Yeah.
What's the word? Like, responsibilities. Because people don't talk about it, but with role playing does come some form of responsibility.
Yeah, because you don't want to, you basically don't want to drop off because you're gonna miss storylines and stuff like that. Like, if you don't show up to events, stuff is still gonna happen and you're gonna come back and you're gonna have missed a bunch of stuff and it's gonna suck.
But like, how's life been for you since you decided to step away from it?
Damn, I don't remember. No, because basically there was about a year where I was still hanging out with my guild, but barely role playing, just listening to them role play, and that made me want even more to just stop. But I mean, I think at the time, yeah, I just moved on to other game. I was just like, okay, like that role playing is not something I enjoy anymore, and well, I'll just play something else. I think at that time, if I recall correctly, that's when I started playing Final Fantasy 14 casually. Because I think, yeah, half of Heaven's World, I think, is when I started. So it would have been 2016. So yeah, that makes sense. 1 year before I stopped playing. Role playing, so yeah. Like, I basically just started, yeah, playing Final Fantasy and then just playing other games. Or just I had a brief time where I just went back to doing some PvE on my old server. And that lasted like 6 months, and then I stopped again, stopped playing. Then I joined the server, and then through that I joined the PvE, the raiding guild of one of the original creators of the add-on. So I just ended up raiding again, and then yeah.
Well, last little bit of topic here. Do you think you'd ever consider going back to role playing in any form, like whether it be tabletop or LARPing or something like that?
I mean, based on the tabletop thing I did a couple of years ago, it's something I enjoyed, and I'd probably do it again if I had the right circumstances. Basically, if the stars aligned, I'd do it again. I think we had talks with some completely unrelated people, like the people who I play with currently on Final Fantasy. We had brief mentions of, hey, like, wouldn't it be fun to just play like a tabletop RPG at some point? And we'll just, hey, that'd be fun. And then that hasn't concretized, but maybe it will in the future. But that's tabletop role play is something I'd do again. LARPing, I'm not a very social person. I'd rather stay at home
No,
playing
I
games all
understand.
day, so
I get it. I force my I like to believe I'm extroverted, but I'll be honest with you. My spoons drain very quickly.
Yeah, no, I actively avoid as much as possible, I guess. No, that's not true. Like, if people are gonna organize something, I'll join, but it's not something I'll go look for. Like, it's if nobody asks me to do something outside, I'll just stay at home. I'm comfy inside. People are scary.
Well, with that said, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me today.
No, thanks for the invite as well.
Is there any bit of advice that you would like to give other role players who are listening?
I am not qualified to give advice, I think, at this point. I guess the only advice I'd give from personal experience is just like, if at some point you're not enjoying some like if you're not enjoying the role playing you're doing right now, like, it's fine to change. Like, you don't have to stick to a group of people or like an event or something like that, just out of a feeling of, I need to be there because I'm part of this. Like, if you don't enjoy it, just move
Just,
on. It's a
yeah.
game. Just it's made to be enjoyable, and you shouldn't feel forced to do anything you don't want to.
Yeah, no, that is something I think a lot of people don't talk about enough is the idea of stepping back and stepping away. Because I have seen people who are just like, I don't want to get on, but I have to because I have to do this event and stuff like that, and how it can be very draining, especially when a guild has like event after event after event, daily, day in, day out, multiple events every day going in. And the people who are involved in that, just they feel so obligated to get on and be a part of it, but it's really easy to forget that it's still your time, and your time is what you want to make of your time.
Yeah, and basically, like, I won't go into details, but basically at the end of my time role-playing, and when I was just listening to my guild, like, what they were doing, like, they were basically, like, engaging with other guilds, like, all the time, because they were basically, like, working for whatever city council or whatever was going on, and they would just go in meetings and just moan endlessly about, oh, these guys are talking about this, and oh, like this, I don't want to be there, and all that. And all I could think of during that time, and I even tried to tell him, is just like, why are you still there? Like, just go, just leave. You don't have to be there. And that just made me so sad about it. It's just, there's a lot of people that just feel the need to participate in activities just because they want to be, I guess, like, part of the big whole. But I think sometimes you gotta realize that you don't have to be part of a big whole. You can just have fun with your own group on your own.
Yeah, that is true. Just, anyways, before I start going off a rant, thank you so much, Talania. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
And that's it for the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to support me, I have a Patreon. Or you could just leave me a comment, give me some constructive criticism, leave me a rating. That helps out a lot. Come to the Discord, say hello. There are so many things I can do to help me that cost no money, and I just listening already is enough. I really appreciate it. If you would like to donate monetarily, $1 goes a long way. Like I said, I do have a Patreon and a Ko-fi, I believe. Again, I will make sure to leave all the stuff in the Discord, in the show notes. If you would like to ask a question, again, Discord, or email me at thecoreroleplayersguild@gmail.com. Again, links down below. Really appreciate you guys all for listening, and thank you just for being here. Till next Wednesday, everybody, stay in character.